Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Music with Matt podcast. I'm Wes.
I'm John.
And this is the podcast where we explore all things music and how it relates to people's professional lives.
That's right. And so we're going to jump back into part two of this episode with our friend Jill Harris. And Jill is someone who kind of uniquely is someone who plays music full time. It's a bit of a rare thing.
A performer, a songwriter, a musician, incredibly talented individual.
Yeah.
So here we go.
And also a MAP homie, right?
Really, though.
Yeah, yeah. anyway, enjoy the part two of this episode. This also got me thinking, so is there something that you tend to find yourself, is there like a non-musical thing that you find that you are gravitated to, again, like almost as a contrast to playing music and practicing music and performing all the time?
I mean,
that's a bit of a big question.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Like, it's funny because we had some downtime fairly recently. Like, we played this gig on a cruise ship in January for a week, but then we had this like month and a half of no gigs, and I was like, oh, what am I doing?
Right.
But actually, I just found myself seeing my friends and family like the whole time because I was just like, oh, here's a moment where I can catch up with people, all the people that I've been like. Saying it's probably when I reached out to you too, reached out to me actually at a perfect time. And I was
great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're thinking the same thing. Yeah.
but I think I tend. I mean, I'm a very social person, and so I use those moments to catch up and try and like be there for people.
Right.
When I couldn't play music in the pandemic, I like seriously considered going back to school for psychotherapy because. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that.
Right.
But in the end, I basically was like to the point where I was talking to my own therapist and being like, this is something that I might be interested in. And then I got a call from Tyler, from Dwayne, being like, listen, like gigs are coming back in a big way very soon. And I was like, ah, screw it. I want to do the thing that I really like doing.
Yeah, for sure.
At least for now, for as long as I can.
Right.
I did a lot of, like I mentioned before we turned on the mics, like I did a lot of outreach in the pandemic, as a lot of like, I think my musician friends did, because we had so much extra time. We just started doing like going to encampments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that became a lot of what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist in the same way in my life anymore. And I think about that and there will be a time for that again. But it was funny to see where my hours went when I couldn't do music anymore. Because I don't think when music is your full-time like kind of life, it's sort of, it does take up all your time. It's like, what's my hobby? It's like also music.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And like the conversation kind of naturally went there because it was like, well, here's, you know, this the majority of your activity is sort of X, Y, Z. And then it's like, well, here we learn a little bit about like you creating your own music. But then it's almost like, yeah, what do you do outside of something that's considered musical? And it's cool, though, whether it's with friends or family or also even with the outreach work that you're doing. It's really cool that you sort of, it sounds like you're just saying connecting with people is the thing that also gives you that sort of fulfillment and nourishment. Not to imply that it's something that you do selfishly, obviously, but it's just sort of the end result of what you're doing is you have that. And it's kind of interesting, too, because even that's ultimately what you're doing when you are performing and playing music, is it's like you're also connecting with people, many different people in like different ways. So it's really cool to hear that that's almost like an underlying theme to what you're doing, is just like finding different ways to kind of connect with people in a way that is like genuinely an extension of who you are, you know?
Yeah, that's actually something that I've had to, that I've thought about more, because I think I sometimes feel like with my line of work, I'm like, is this actually, like am I doing enough for my, like, society or something? Am I actually contributing? Like that comes into my mind. But then I'm also like, so many people have said how much live music is important to them. Like, and I see it when I am performing, like the energy that, that people like give back, because they're just, they feel it so much. It does feel like equally exchanged.
Mm-hmm.
So that has changed for me, that feeling of that. And I also felt it on that Broken Social Scene tour because they were doing the 20th anniversary of an album that meant a lot to people.
Yeah.
And so I would see how important it felt to them. Like, right. And I know it for myself too, as a huge music lover, I'm like, listening to music is so important to me. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like, okay, well, music is important. I'm doing a thing that also provides like comfort.
Yeah.
Joy.
So many intangibles to people. Right. And also it sounds like you've, even with all of your side projects and different like hobbies, as you would describe them, it's just kind of following your heart and your gut kind of in these different ways. And like John said, mm-hmm. it's just that social connection with people that mm-hmm. kind of keeps coming back to the root of it, which is amazing.
And I appreciate you being mindful of, not to interject, but I appreciate that you are like mindful of that, and sort of, especially as time has gone on and you sort of stop and reflect and be like, hold on, you know, like, where am I at in relation to all of these things, right? Like, what is truly the value or meaning for me? And it's like, I appreciate that you have kind of stopped to evaluate that. I'm sure that was somewhat, as with many of us, like somewhat informed by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It kind of forced everyone to kind of stop and do that. But yeah, it is cool that you did that.
Yeah.
Back to you.
No. That's,
and
that's,
back to you, Wes.
Yeah. well, one thing I was going to say is it's been a really awesome part of this conversation was the fact of how you've really encapsulated and highlighted the difference between a performer and like a songwriter. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes we think about a musician and you think of like, okay, I got to write these songs, then I got to, you know, record them, then I got to go do all these things. But like the performer aspect is so big in itself, especially for somebody like Dwayne or even Broken Social Scene. When you go perform a show, everybody knows all the words to all the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
And so there's that very interactive experience that transpires between the crowd and you guys on stage and all of those things. So that was just really, really cool to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the difference between those two things and maybe something we don't highlight enough when we talk about music or just the different options that are available. Right?
True.
Because
for sure
that performance piece, and you get this a lot, John, with like playing and, you know, you're doing a Foo Fighters cover
yep.
album.
Oh, show,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We're doing the Color and the Shape.
Yeah.
Oh, with, that's fun.
Yeah. It is a fun thing, but just to, yeah, it's like these are different hats that people wear, right? And again, it's like the more you learn about the music industry, the more you realize just how many different hats there are and how it all just kind of goes into it. But when you just, as we're talking about it in these different shows, so if you're cool to talk about it, like how did it transpire that you were able to join up with Broken Social Scene? Like how did that transpire? Like did you,
That was just, again, from being in music and making connections. Mm-hmm. I met Brendan Canning, who plays bass in Broken Social Scene and writes and all that stuff. And I just met him going to shows. Like he's such a music fan. And so I don't even know what show I met him at, but we just chatted, you know, became friends. He would come see my, like this project I used to have, Alien Pipes, it was like electronic project. And yeah, we just stayed in touch. And I think there was a period of time, obviously they've like only, they have a few women that they work with who are like, I'm in awe of, obviously Feist and Amy Milan from Stars and Ariel from La Force. Like they're just, and Emily Haynes,
right.
Like literally the super group of Canadian music in every genre.
And I'm like a little bit younger than that group. And I, so in high school, I was just like a fan of the Stars. Like, totally.
Yeah.
And so I think that Brendan like had me in mind for if an opportunity arose.
Right.
And a lot of those people are, you know, they tour with their own bands or they have kids at home, and sometimes kids and their partners are also in the band and both people can't go on tour at the same time. So it's like there was this tour that was coming up that it looked like none of their people were going to be around. So I was pitched as a possible person to do it.
Amazing.
And I did this one gig with them in July of last year. It's kind of like, let's see how this goes.
Right.
And we all got along and it felt good. And then I also went to go see Alanis Morissette with Kevin Drew like a month later, and we had a good hang. Because honestly, much of, like I mentioned earlier, being on the road with people or spending a lot of time with people is like, the hang is more important than even like the musical ability,
right?
And sometimes,
well, it makes it sustainable, right? Like,
yeah,
exactly. Like, but it's like if you're around each other,
yeah. And if you've been on the road enough, like for long enough and enough times with different people, you just like know how important that is. It's like, yeah, they're great on stage, but most importantly, like they clean up after themselves and they're like not annoying.
Exactly. You know, like, exactly. It's like choosing a roommate or or like anything. Like it's just like, I know I'm going to be around this person a lot. So how does this feel? How do we interact? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we had a couple nice times and then it was like, okay, well, let's just do it. And, and it went well. So
cool.
Yeah. It's nice to have this other connection. Yeah. But again, I think it's just like continuing to do music and feel like positive about it. I think that I'm a pretty optimistic person and that's how I also come across to people.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm on people's teams.
Right.
Well, that's amazing. Right. Like being easy to work with is definitely a skill. And like you said before, like even when you're going into these situations, being able to be flexible and creative and confident and all of these things in the moment, without being too rigid and like, you know, set in your ways is definitely a skill. But one thing that we ask everybody on the show, that's a very popular question and something that we enjoy listening to as well. What are you listening to right now? What kind of music are you into?
Yeah, you kind of mentioned this might come up, or maybe I heard it also on the podcast, but I am such a playlist creator. I love listening to music also and like finding songs. So I would say like the album that I'm like, that I've listened to the most recently as an album is Kalela, or it might be Kalela. That's like, she just released an album. It's like very smooth R&B.
R&B, right.
But
yeah,
also like has some like drum and bass elements that come in. It's like very like easy to listen to, but also gives you some life.
Cool.
I'm going to see this producer duo called Overmono this week that are coming to Toronto. They released an album last year too. But yeah, I started making this playlist called Heal/Feel in the pandemic because I was like, I'm going crazy. As most people were.
Like many of us, yep.
Yeah, and so I would just listen to this all the time, just have added songs to it.
Wow. So how many songs are you at this point?
Well, I change it every year.
I've just
started creating my 2023.
Oh, that's cool.
One. So it's funny because I don't even know if I'd be able to like name everything that's on there. Sometimes like I listen to a lot of my friend's music. So my friend goes by DJ Planet Express and he just released an album that features my friend Katie McBride. And I actually like have this moniker called Augustix that I have released music with him on as well.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about that actually. I'm happy you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like, so you lend just vocal ideas or like vocal recordings, or do you collaborate on the creation of the music, or how does that work?
I do. It's actually the same as like with Rodrigo or so many other people that I work with.
Right.
I just record at home and I usually create the melodies and the lyrics.
Right.
And the harmonies.
Right.
And they send me a produced track.
Right.
And then I just create everything else and just send it back.
Send it back.
And,
okay.
And like do whatever with it.
Cool.
So we made a couple tunes. I wish I had more like this album.
No, that's cool. That's enough, honestly, like creating playlists and stuff is a very big thing right now. It's like, this is like your own sort of radio channel.
Exactly. Right?
Because people like subscribe to it and you know, it finds its way into their listening.
That is
well.
Really cool though. I like how you do it like a different one for each year.
Thank you. I mean, I have an ambient playlist.
Right.
I love ambient music. What are y'all listening to?
Well, it's funny that you say
the tables have turned.
The playlist thing, because it just reminded me. I just had like a memory of I used to have a massive CD collection, and I would organize these things differently, like every couple months, whether it was in like a specific vibe of music, whether it was like more low key, more up tempo stuff, genres, things like that, and then even just like putting these into playlists on my like little iPod too.
Oh, nice.
Things like that.
Because you still have your big iPod.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Well, I've just gotten back into CDs.
Okay. Hey, okay.
Because I had a CD player in my car.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Okay.
I've got two big CD books in my car right now. For the same reason.
Yes.
Now, the CDs that you're getting back into CDs, are these ones that you like blew the dust off from your collection, or have you been like purchasing CDs again?
So I, in a very silly move, got rid of like a huge box of CDs, probably in like 2017.
Right.
They take up
a lot of space.
Yeah. I was like, I'm never going to listen to these again.
Yeah.
And now, so I have nothing. So now I'm like going to Valley Village, perusing, mostly like buying CDs that I liked as a kid. So like my most recent fixation is Paula Cole's 1996 album, This Fire.
Wow.
Which is a really incredible album. That's my number one recommendation today.
Okay. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, a bunch of other stuff. I'm like, oh, Moby, Dixie Chicks.
Right.
Ella Fitzgerald. Like whatever I see that I'm like, oh, I'm going to like this in the car.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I like how you're kind of doing the CD purchasing again. This makes me think that I should go. I have like a couple booklets of CDs that I have. I'm pleased to say I've kept. So maybe I'll peruse through and
it's fun. I
send like
some
it.
Options. Yeah, yeah. Especially when you're driving too, because, you know, similar to like a record player to a certain extent, you don't always like, at least for myself, I find I don't always just like skip songs. Like I'll let the album play.
Yeah.
Whereas like on, like juxtaposed, when I'm listening to a streaming service or something, oftentimes it's not even like, it's just that one song on like a playlist or somewhere
it's
random.
It's like the singles that they've released.
Yeah.
So you lose that full album feel. Cause I love like, I mean, you talk about Broken Social Scene. There's one of my favorite bands when I was younger, the full album, like front to back.
Yeah.
You know, it was always really, really cool.
But yeah. It is interesting how like it is easy to skip a track on a CD, but you tend not to as much as if you're streaming something.
Yeah,
and I hate when I identify that in myself. If I'm listening to music, I'm like, especially if it's classical music or something. So like one piece is, you know, 8, 10, 12 minutes long, whatever. And a little ways in, I'm kind of like, I should look for something else. And I'm like, no, like, no, Mr. No Attention Span, ride this out. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, sure, you can do that, but... Whereas if it were a CD or a record or something like that, then yeah, it wouldn't even be something that's in my realm of thought. Like I would just let it play out. So
that's actually so interesting, because I wonder if that's just a sign of what we've become as people, which is like lower attention spans. Mm-hmm. And like, I wouldn't, have compassion for yourself that you want to skip things, because that's how we like work now.
Yeah.
And same with like on the radio changing all the time. But for some reason, there's like it almost feels like it's a respect thing when you're listening to a CD. It's like, I'm not as into this song, but I gotta listen to the whole thing. Like, that was just like, because that's what we did. I remember being in the car with my parents too. It's like, we're gonna listen to the whole album front to back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, I listened to a lot of musicals growing up.
Mm.
So you couldn't skip a song.
But that's just the dynamics of the whole album, right? Because one song leads into the next, and maybe you're right, that one song you kind of heard it too many times, or it's, you know, it's like, I don't need to hear this. But the way that, like, plays into the next one.
It's part of the whole project, so you can't just like skip it. Yeah,
and it's still, but it is still the same with like anything else. Like probably, I'm saying probably as if I haven't myself released music, but you do make a lot of choices about how the album goes.
Absolutely,
as like an arc. So
yeah, I love that part of creating music.
Absolutely.
I like, especially when you're getting to the end and you're like, ooh, okay, it comes down to the order of songs. What's going to start it off? What's going to be the like midpoint, the end point? And you kind of figure out, you know, how am I going to like, what's the track sandwich? Like, what's going to go in between? And, you know.
Well, that's just it. Even you're talking about the show with you're doing with Color in the Shape, the Foo Fighters album. Like, that is an album where it like, you know, it's a little roller coaster of up and down.
Yeah.
And you're going to do it like in order, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, so this is the thing. Even something like, you know, if you have two songs in the same key and you're like, oh, those would be cool side by side, but they both start with this chord. Mm-hmm. So like, I can't have that. You got to space it out, because if you're listening, you know, if someone's listening to the album front to back, it's just like, they're going to hear that those two are similar. Like, you know, anyway, it is a cool aspect of it. Would you say that there's like a particular genre or artist that might fall into the category of like guilty pleasure, or something that someone may not expect you to listen to? Like, do you, like, in your car, have you purchased, like, a Slipknot CD or something that you, like, headbang to, or...
That's really funny.
I'm trying to think of something else that might be a...
It's funny because I don't know that I would actually associate guilty pleasure with music, ever.
Because you're just, it's just an open book. Yeah. It's just, like, you're down for anything,
There's some stuff that I have felt, like, more embarrassed to, like, if I'm in a car of people... I'm, like, maybe not going to put on my, like, house music.
Right.
Like
the electronic
stuff that I'm, like deeply into because I'm, like, it's not going to work for everyone.
It's just not the vibe of the car. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think, I would say more so, like, I have guilty pleasures with, like, other media, like reality TV. But with music, I'm just kind of, like, you know, there's something... for everybody.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, and again, you're playing music in every genre all the time too.
Yeah. Right?
Like it's kind of commonplace.
Do you find, so I got another question for you. So do you find like, you know, you play guitar, piano, you sing, right? These are sort of like very natural kind of like acoustic instruments. Do you find that there's, as a contrast, is there an inclination to you to like create or listen to sort of like music that's just digital, like music that's, you know, digital instruments? Well, you mentioned house, I guess, is sort of what I thought about. And even when you mentioned the music, the little, like one of the side projects that you have where it is sort of more like electronic music, like.
Totally. I think that I'm actually way more drawn to like synth and like processed sounds than acoustic sounds generally.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm interested in everything and I love folk music so much. I make it too. But there's something about like, I think when I was a kid, I got really into the Postal Service. I don't know if you ever knew that band. They only made one record. But it's like, it was a lot of digital elements like added. It was just like really produced and I loved it. Mm. And so, and then when I was in college, I used to go to like Dubstep Wednesdays at Wrong Bar every week. Like I just, there's a part of that that really appeals to me. It's just like this like unbridled, I don't know what it is, like joy or something.
Right.
So I do like that stuff. I mean, that's probably an embarrassing listen is dubstep because I think people will be like, this sounds very crazy.
But that's what's great about it. And I actually
it's a creative genre, right?
Also, like, speaking of, driving and ways that you consume music in a car, there was one night a few months ago where I was driving home after hanging with a friend and I listened to the U of T like, you know, college radio station.
Oh yeah.
And it was like jungle, dubstep, like all kinds of just very sort of where the drums are sort of in your face and it's almost it's not like it's dissonant. It's like it's sometimes can almost seem like jarring, but I was just so into it. I was just like, oh, this is incredible. So I definitely I can appreciate that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like allows your brain to almost shut off in a different way.
Yeah.
That like, I think there are other genres of music that make me feel much more emotional. This is almost a way to just be like, I'm just like affected. Like my brain is just rocked, stimulated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you find when you listen to music, you know, especially if it's like say folk music or something like that, is there a part of your brain that's like, oh, that's a C sharp to a D, and then that's like a B to a B flat or something? Or
that's so funny because someone asked me this yesterday.
Whoa!
I was listening to this like this folk artist, like Appalachian folk, named Sam Amidon, and it was like they were like, can you tell that this is, you know, where it's capoed and if it's is that a D structure, is that a C structure? And it's funny because when I actually think about it, I can tell, but I don't think about it.
Okay. Right. Because that's why when you're mentioning like the sort of, you know, you can sort of let yourself loose and just enjoy something like, you know, dubstep or whatever. I didn't know if maybe that was like a part of it where it's just like maybe you're hearing the notes and you're hearing the rhythms and stuff, but maybe not consciously like processing what's going on.
I think it's more about the lyrics probably is what I mean, because I think with a lot of that other music it's like I am a big lyric lover and listener. And so I get really drawn in by that, and a lot of the music, like electronic music that I love, is either no vocals or just like a sample that's so repetitive. I mean that's when I feel like embarrassed playing it in front of people because I'm like, this honestly might annoy some people.
Right.
Because it's just like the same phrase for 10 minutes. Yeah. But I, for some reason, like it.
Yeah.
Well, there's just cool, like, creative outlets in electronic music and cool sounds.
Definitely.
And like, the way technology is used to, you know, like, the synthesizer itself as an instrument is incredible.
Incredible. The amount of possibilities. Like,
it's endless. You can do anything with it.
Yeah.
Right? But,
yeah.
I would say there are tons of creative elements, for sure. Like, I think that's, I would try to explain that, too, because I'm going to this concert this week, I was like showing that music and I was like, okay, now listen to how they bring this element in now. And now this element and this element is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm like, okay, I got to cool it.
But also, like, to an earlier point, like with electronic music, performance is a massive aspect to it, right? Because some of those shows are huge and the vibes are like very high energy. And
yeah.
To perform that music, you've got to kind of be that character as well.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like one person has to do the whole, like, think about the number of players in Dwayne, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people on stage at any given time versus like one person who's just got a whole bunch of gear and like commanding all that attention and the energy too. It's just like such an interesting thing, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny because I think that when you are a producer like that, you can just kind of get away with looking cool behind all your gear.
And holding the headphones.
Like, literally, I'm just sometimes like, they have a good outfit and they have like a good head nod.
Yeah.
And that's like enough.
That's enough. Right. Yeah.
It's almost like I'm going to be in my own world of dancing.
For sure.
Yeah. Whereas when I'm, you know, with a band like Dwayne, it's kind of like the spectacle of us. Too,
yes, absolutely.
Which is, it's like a different style.
Totally different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So, cause I was curious to know again, like what I'm like, what if anything would be a quote unquote guilty pleasure for you? And I feel like what we've uncovered is just like a cool relationship with like electronic and synth based music as it is somewhat of a contrast to sort of a lot of the other music that you generally kind of play and perform yourself.
Yeah. It's maybe something that people wouldn't guess.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
I don't know. It's so hard to know what people like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Everyone's totally different.
And I think with just the accessibility of music now, everybody kind of likes everything anyways, which is awesome. But Jill, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, yeah.
That was super enlightening and you were super gracious with your stories and we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yeah.